textile artist Peggy Bly Rocco knows why those who view her work might want to touch her pieces. As a child, she played pretend while her mother shopped for fabric, hiding under the lovely fabrics unwound from bolts on tables laden with goods of many colors, more than Joseph had in his technicolor coat, loving the lightness or the heft of different weaves against her skin, even the clothy scent. She might agree with Julia Bryan Wilson, who contends in her study, Frey, regardless of specialized education or technical vocabulary, by virtue of wearing garments, sleeping among linens, and sitting on upholstered surfaces, we are all de facto experts in textiles, attuned to subtle distinctions in their variable heft, durability, and breathability. Before children reach school age, they know which fabrics itch, which are smooth, which are warm. I honor the lay expertise, personal proficiency, and tacit intelligence abundantly displayed every time I see people perform the simple but effective gesture of rubbing cloth between their fingers to distinguish texture, thickness, suppleness. We undergo a lifetime of training that makes us keenly attuned to the material properties of textiles. That's what she says. So, in a sense, we've been preparing all our lives to enjoy textile art. And yet, what artists like Peggy do with textiles? Amazing! Bryan Wilson reminds us of the variety of textiles and methods available to these creators. Cords, twine, yarn, threads of all sorts. At times, fiber is organized into fabric, but often it remains as a skein, a coil, or a jumble. They integrate non-textile items into their pieces and may explore the tensile properties of their materials, their capacity to be pulled, stressed, and to withstand tension, something young Peggy would have certainly been scolded for in the fabric store as a child. Five Artists, Explorations and Conversations is an exhibition that will present the work of Meredith Ekus Armstrong, Elizabeth Z. Bennett, Jean E. Downing, Peggy Bly Rocco, and Cecilia J. Rusnak. For nearly a decade, these artists have been committed to meeting monthly to support one another and critique the work in progress. And the exhibition will be held at the gallery at Penn College in Williamsport, opening June 4th, so yesterday, and it will run through July 24th. And there is an artist's reception and opening on June 8th, and we are invited to attend. We had a chance to speak by Zoom with two of the artists and the gallery director. We spoke with Meredith Ekus Armstrong and Peggy Bly Rocco, and also Penny Lutz, director of the gallery at Penn College. And Penny sets the stage.
The gallery at Penn College opened in 2006 in the newly built Madigan Library. And since that time, we've had over 125 different exhibitions, about 75 solo and over 40 group or traveling. So I'm always looking for something really unique, and especially during the summer, something to bring people in, maybe from further away, people who are traveling or more willing to travel in the summer. And I'm particularly interested in fiber arts, and I have been for many years. I believe I met Meredith around 2014, 2015 through a fiber art exhibition. And because of our friendship, we have brought in two Studio Art Quilt Associate exhibitions for the Pennsylvania members. And so we always talk about fiber arts and ideas. And this came up probably 2 or 3 years ago as an idea, because I knew that she had a group of women that she met with every month. And I have met all of the members of the group because they've been in either one or both of those Sakwa exhibitions.
Meredith, do we talk to you first because of what Penny has told us about your circle of artist friends?
We were all at the time members of Studio Art Quilt Associates and in Pennsylvania. And at that point, I think I was the representative for Sakwa PA. And my goal as the representative was to build a community because there really wasn't one. So in doing that, we tried to get meetings at people's houses and send out the invites to everybody and try and move it around the state. But it got to be confusing, needless to say. But as that went along, we did make connections. Different people make connections. And one day, driving to one of the things, somebody in the car said, "Hey, why don't we get together in Danville and, you know, talk about our work more?" Because the meetings were once a month or once every other month, and it was a bigger group. So we put a little piece of, what do you call it, Peggy? That fiber board that I had, the insulation board, at the end of my dining room. And we met here and would just hang the work up on that and talk about it. And it kept going. I felt it was a great benefit to me because I'm a little bit bad about not getting things finished. And it certainly encouraged that. And nice to have another set of eyes to say, did you think about, or what about, or to problem solve, which is another thing with fiber art, or with what I do is more mixed media textile work, so that I get heavy stuff in it sometimes, or odd shapes or different things. And so what would be the best way to present it? And Peggy has a lot of background in the arts and has a broader knowledge base than I in finding some of those solutions. But everybody would bring something to the table. And, you know, nobody is insulted if you say, "Oh my God, no, I wouldn't try that at all." Everybody just, you know, okay. And then you'd move on to the next one. And it really was good. And so we continued. That's been about 10 years. And I know that it has kept me more on track than I would otherwise have been. And it's developed relationships between the five of us.
And Peggy, how about having this group ongoing? What has that meant to you as an artist?
I would say that to share your work when it's in its infancy stages is very vulnerable. So it's really wonderful to have a group of people that you can trust to share that with and ask questions about, should I go to this step? Or should I go this way? Or do you have any insight on what I should do next? So it's a real trust and sharing, close kind of interaction.
Yes. And because it's a number of years, you do get to know each other. But as we see in the program booklet, you each work in very different ways with different materials, right?
Yes, we do. We have a very wide range of approaches and how we want to communicate visually. So some of us work abstractly, and some of us work representationally, and some of us are kind of in between that. It's very interesting. And we all use different kinds of materials, but it's all textile based, and there's usually a needle and thread involved with all of us. That's our connecting tool, is a needle and thread. But what we use the needle and thread on is different.
One thing that some people think is that if you get together with a group of people who have input towards your work, that your work will become similar. That hasn't happened for us.
You've been doing textile work for your whole life. How did you start? What drew you to it?
Well, I am the fourth of six kids, so I kind of roll with the punches. We were young. A couple of my sisters and I all had, what is it, the chicken pox, where you're not supposed to be in light. So my mother, who was very good at fiber stuff, and she also painted, we had to stay in this one bedroom with the blinds drawn. She supplied us with felt and needle and thread. And I was about 4 or 5 years old. And she gave us pillow forms so that we cut it in the shape of the pillow, and then we were cutting things out and stitching it on. You can imagine how that looked. But it was thrilling. You know what I mean? It was the making. And as a small child, as a toddler below like 2 years old, family lore has it that I would go in the backyard and sit and make mud pies for hours wearing my aunt's cast off hats. And so I just always had the need, I guess, to make things.
What was the step from the pillows to the place where you are now? How did your work evolve? Was it this way, that way, trying this, trying that, until you said, ah, this is my fiber voice. This is my textile voice. This is the way I want to work.
It took a long time to get there, you know, because I started in fifth grade. We had a sewing class and I started making my own clothes, and I would use my babysitting money, take the train into Philadelphia to South Street, not in fifth grade, but in junior high, and get fabrics. And my brother always helped me. He was very good at figuring out geometric stuff because I never could quite afford the amount of fabric the pattern would say or something. When I got married and moved to the Danville area, I decided to make quilts. And I had five sewers who I would give instruction to, and we would make things and sell them at local craft fairs and things. And then people were always asking me to make them clothes. And at some point, I started a business. And again, I had a bunch of sewers, and we made one-of-a-kind clothing. If you ordered something from me, I would never make that in the same fabric for anybody else. And I just sort of morphed into, you know, making things. I'd always been a little left of center with my quilts. They weren't usually patterns, but now I just said, okay, we're going for this. So that's been about 30 some years ago. And I keep going at it, and I'm trying to figure out why, especially on the run up to this show. What am I doing this for? But I'm doing it. I thought about it a lot in case you were going to ask me. I thought, okay, I'm doing this. I figured out because I'd like to make things, I like to solve problems, and it helps me process the world around me. So thank you for asking us to do this. It made me reflect and come up with that.
Peggy, let me ask you then, the way you started, what was it that attracted you to the world of fiber arts?
Well, like a lot of us, it started with your mother. She, of course, made all of our clothes, so I would, you know, go to the fabric store with her. And I always remember being a little kid running around the fabric store, and the fabric seemed to be on these tables, these round tables, and they'd be on the bolts and they'd drop down over the edge of the table. And I was always up under the table looking through at the fabric. So it was like a little tent. While she was looking through the books and figuring out what she wanted to purchase, I was doing that kind of stuff. And then when she would work, she would hand me all of her cutoffs, and she showed me how to make dolls and things like that. And you know, she'd hand me a needle and thread, and I'd just put stuff together. That was childhood. I never made my clothes when I was in high school. I failed home ec. It's just like, oh my gosh, there's rules to this? No, I can't do it. So I wound up in art school, and I was a sculpture and printmaking major. And looking back on that experience, I'm really upset that there was never a sewing machine in the sculpture center. Nope. I learned how to weld, how to work in a wood shop. I learned how to cast aluminum. I learned all kinds of things, but there was not a sewing machine in the sculpture center. So, you know, that's a disservice, I think. After art school, I got a job as an exhibits coordinator at the Police Touch Museum in Philadelphia for children. I was the only female in the department, and all the sewing work landed on my desk. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't know how to sew with the sewing machine. So I really quick figured out how to put stuff together. I was making costumes and hats, bunting, and all kinds of things. And I really liked it. I really responded to it. So from that, that's how I started making. I didn't start out making quilts, but I came at it that way, through the back door.
Penny, has there been an increase in interest? If Peggy's telling us she didn't have access to a sewing machine, Has there been an increase in the number of artists who have begun working with textiles, fiber arts in recent times? Do we see more of that now?
I think that we do see a lot more of it. And just from my perspective, we get artists that enter for solo shows, and the number of fiber artists has definitely increased.
I would add to that that my daughter went to art school and became a fiber arts major. So there are lots of fiber arts programs now.
Just briefly introduce us to your colleagues who will be showing with you.
Well, I would say that if you look at Elizabeth's work, she dyes all of her own fabrics. She's a precision person, the exact opposite of me. And she works out everything ahead of time. She has notebooks that have teeny tiny writing that's beautiful. And she writes everything out, what she's going to do, what she did. If I say, how'd you get that color? She says, let me look it up. And she goes to the page. Here it is. I would have said, I glopped this in and I glopped, you know, I don't know. So she really has, I would say color study is something that she's very interested in. And she's very interested in the piecing and preciseness and in doing things. She thinks out what she wants to do. Either she makes herself a color challenge, like how can I make this work with two colors, or she tries to do something. Remember when she tried to do the broken glass and we thought the piece was delightful. She didn't. So then Cece's work is much more controlled than mine, perhaps not as much as Elizabeth's. She, though, comes from a background of being a landscape architect. She taught at Penn State in the architecture department, landscape.
Yep, and her work starts with photographs, and she prints her photographs on fabric or a paper-based material. Isn't that right, Meredith? Something
it's
like that?
It's an unusual type of fabric you can print on. It's very, very thin, and architects use it for doing their big plans for gardens and stuff. That's where she came upon it, and that's where she had presses available to her and could do lots of things in different sizes. Now that she's retired, that's changed. And she does local landscapes. I think the one in the book on the first page, I think that's a local park near her in State College. So what she does is she prints it, and then she does meticulous stitchings, teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny, perfectly straight, you know, really very nice accents it, but you don't look at it and say, oh, look at the stitches. It just gives it some sort of definition. And when she gets to that point where she doesn't like it, she cuts it up into pieces and makes it into something else. And it's really cool.
She also adds a lot of paint and other things to the surface, as well as stitching.
And she frames a lot of her work. And then Jean's is much more wabi-sabi, as they say, you know, oh, look over there. Oh, what about there? Hers is on the first page. It's that face, which is 4 feet by 5 feet. And then the other one on the right-hand side, the rectangular one, is one of her pieces. And she kind of starts with some sort of idea, and it may morph and change. Or like with her faces now, she has a series, and she has a system that she learned about putting these squares together and then bring it all together. And it seems to work really well for her. And I don't know, Penny, did she put any of her 3D pieces in?
Yep, there are two Frida dolls that are three-dimensional. They're about 8 inches high.
And is that Frida Kahlo?
Mm-hmm. It's like an ode to Frida.
As an artist, Frida Kahlo celebrated color, vibrant colors. She loved color. You do too, don't you, Peggy?
I love color. Yes. I'm an avid flower gardener. So my yard is full of flowers. Flowers are my inspiration for color. I once had a painter ask me, why do you use such garish colors? I'm like, have you never looked at a flower garden? There's every color in the world in a flower garden. So I didn't understand that question.
Meredith, we were going to come back to you and ask you about the example that you gave us of the importance of having this conversation and this circle of friends who are artists and what it might bring to you.
You know, when when I'm working, I kind of have an idea. I work on something. I put it aside and work on something else because I've come to a part where I know I want to keep that in my head, but I'm kind of not ready for the next move yet. So I move to something else. And I think part of that is because I use energy a lot and I put the energy into what I'm doing. And I don't want to lose that. And it takes a long time to make a textile piece. It's not just, I took a pastel course recently, and you can make like 5 pastels in the time. Like, oh my God, I get a couple of inches of a fiber piece done. So it really takes a long time. And sometimes my energy can get stagnated a little bit, and I don't want that to happen. So then I move to another piece. I've just found this out in the last like year and a half or something. I said, oh my gosh, this is the way to do it. I have 4 things going at once so I can move around and shift and stuff. And so when you put your work up on the board, when everybody's there and there's this silence and you think, uh-oh, and somebody will pipe up with, did you think about? And I'm like, no, never occurred to me. Do you know what I mean? So there's input and I can accept it or reject it, but it's looking at it through someone else's eyes. I try and have a specific question when I present something, but we always deviate from that. But you think red would help it over here in this corner, you know, that kind of thing. Or I often write a list of words for the piece that I'm trying to convey with the work. And so I think what I'm going to start doing, Peggy, is asking people to write down a couple of words that it evokes for them.
And Peggy, how about you and the circle and the input as you continue to work on a piece?
I'm completely the opposite from Meredith. I don't usually have a specific goal when I put it up. I'm just like, here it is. What do you think? But I am really deliberate in the direction that I'm going. Like I start something and I get things going and I think, okay, this is where I'm going to head. So I do really like to put things up and have people say, oh, wow, I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking of this when I saw it. So the communication it's really an important part.
Penny, when we hear that this is a circle of 5 artists who are women and they're working with fiber arts, are there connections with past traditions, sewing circles, quilting, bees, largely women working with needle, thread, fabric?
Yeah, I think there definitely are more women working in textiles and fiber arts. There definitely are males, though, working in this medium. And often you hear about them more because they are more rare. But I think looking back, it really was males who started out as weavers, you know, many, many years ago. That was their livelihood. But now it's definitely more women. And I wanted to mention, like, I was so intrigued by this group because often as adult artists, once you're out of college, you never find a group to talk to. You don't have anyone to critique your work. It's really solitary, I think, to be an artist, unless you're maybe in a building with a lot of studios and you open your door to talk to people. But I think that it's different there too. So I think it's wonderful that this group has found each other, that they can talk about their work in a nice way and get a lot out of it. And to keep this going for 10 years, not just 1 or 2 or 3, but 10, I think it's wonderful.
Yes, making art is a very solitary experience. It really is. Very intense and by yourself. You have to really trust yourself and like yourself, to be honest.
Are there changes in the materials you work with? Are there things that are available to you now that might not have been that you might consider using in your work?
I would say that anything is up for grabs as a material to work with. But I would say that there are fads that work goes through. Like right now, working with found objects, upcycled clothing, upcycled materials is really popular. I think, wouldn't you say, Meredith, that like dyeing your own fabric was really, really big a while ago. And I think hand stitching is really big right now. It used to be all machine stitching. And now I think a lot of slower, more deliberate hand stitching is popular. So I think techniques and processes and materials kind of go through phases with this work.
I see it that way as well, but I also happened to come across an artist the other day, A-L-Y-S-N, Allison something, and she has inspired me. I've used metal recently in some of my stuff, screening and different objects. I use some unusual things, but she uses a really, and you look for this, Peggy, it's coming, if I can find it, really, really thin sheets of stainless steel.
Oh, and wow. You can
wrinkle it and it'll hold it. It really sounds exciting to me. And I'm going to look into it and moving in using wire and using screening and mesh and stuff. And this could be right up my alley. Yeah.
Peggy, you told us you worked in the Please Touch Museum in Philadelphia. Do people want to touch your work?
Definitely. It's cloth, you know, and we touch cloth every day, all day. Yeah. So for that reason, it's very tactile. Yep. I don't mind if people touch my work, but I know it's a big no-no.
Penny, then please tell us how we can see the show.
Okay. The gallery at Penn College is located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We're on the campus of Penn College, and we're in the Madigan Library. There's visitor parking behind the library, and the exhibition runs June 4th through July 24th, 2025. And we are open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 1 to 4, and we'll be closed July 3rd through 7th.
And you're going to have everyone there together on the 8th?
Yep. June 8th is the opening reception. It runs 2 to 4:30 with a gallery talk at 3 p.m. And all five artists will be present for the talk. And we will have seating because I expect it to last a little bit longer than a normal gallery talk with five artists.
You said you're very excited about the show, Penny. What are the kinds of hopes you have for visitors who are able to attend?
I hope that people find at least one piece to connect with. And I think with fiber arts, that always happens. People just seem to be able to relate to it more, maybe more than painting or photography. It's just a really special medium. And I think they'll be surprised by the techniques, even within the five artists and their particular techniques. There's so much variation. So I think, you know, if you like one person's work, you'll just be surprised by their next piece because it's a little different than the first one.
I would say come with an open mind and ask us questions.
What an opportunity. We had a chance to speak by Zoom with two artists and Penny Lutz. Penny Lutz, director of the gallery at Penn College in Williamsport, and the artists Meredith Ekus Armstrong and Peggy Bly Rocco. And they are part of an exhibition titled Five Artists, Explorations and Conversations, featuring the work of Meredith Ekus Armstrong, Elizabeth Z. Bennett, Jean E. Downing, Peggy Bly Rocco, and Cecilia J. Rusnak. For nearly a decade, as we've heard, these artists have been committed to meeting monthly to support one another and critique work in progress, and their collective work has a range of themes and styles, representational, abstract, landscape, imaginary and remembered places, ancient scripts, creatures, portraits, and more. And the show opened yesterday, June 4th, and it will run through July 24th. Again, that's the gallery at Penn College in Williamsport, located in the Madigan Library. There will be a Meet the Artists reception this Sunday, June 8th, from 2 to 4:30, with a gallery talk at 3. For more information, on the web, pct.edu/gallery. That's Five Artists, Explorations and Conversations at the Gallery at Penn College in the Madigan Library on the campus of Penn College in Williamsport, now through July 24th, with a Meet the Artist reception this Sunday, June 8th, from 2 to 4:30, gallery talk at 3. For more information, pct.edu/gallery.